This is not. And we're now recording, so that's great. All right, well, welcome to you all. Well, a number of years ago, I was out fishing with some friends in Port Stephens. There was a group of us, we had two boats. We're looking forward to the day. It was a little choppy on the water, didn't seem very dangerous at the time, but every now and then a larger swell would come along and it would sort of rock the boat a little bit. I was familiar with the water. We grew up with a boat at home, so it was sort of nothing new to me. But the guy I had with me in my little dinghy was quite nervous, and he kept shifting. And before I could say anything to him, poof, over we went. I've never known a boat to go over so fast. It happened in a flash. My mate started to scream. He saw our friends in the other boat. And on top of his voice, which was near panic, he started crying out, "Hey! Hey!" like this. Now, I realised at the time that he was moving really fast, a little too fast. He was starting to panic. He said, "I'm going to go swim to them." And I said, "Don't go. It's too far. Don't go." I said, "Just hang on to the boat." He started to cry out louder. I said to him, "Calm down. Just get your breath. We're going to be okay. Just hang on to the boat." Now, even though we could see the other boat, they didn't notice us. So I don't know how long we're in the water for while we're waiting. It could have been 5 or 10 minutes. It wasn't that long. But I think when you're in the water, it just feels so long. Time goes really slowly. Now, we were wondering if they'd ever see us. And then someone else actually noticed us. And they came over to help. We got them to tell our friends, and then they came over and you could all take a big deep breath and everything was fine. But in the middle of that experience, the one thing that both of us looked to was our friends in the other boat. We could see them in the distance, they were catching fish, they were having a laugh. It looked like great fun. We wanted to be with them. But as we sat in the water, all our hopes were just in them coming to us, and we're so focused that we actually didn't even notice the boat come up beside us until they called out and said, "Oh, is everything okay?" Well, it clearly wasn't. And then they got our friends to come. I was so focused on where our hopes were in our friends' boat. And I think sometimes life can feel like we're hanging on to the side of a boat, can't it? So many things life throws us up at us that throw us off the boat, yet in the middle of all these terrible events, having hope can get you through. And sometimes we have hope in the wrong things, don't we? My mate put his hopes in the ability to swim to this other boat, which, you know, as you know, it looks so close, but you really know it's too far. The water was too choppy. He would have gotten tired along the way, and if it's hard to see an upturned boat in the middle of Port Stephens, then it's even harder to see a person. Don't let go of the boat. Now, there are many things that we put our hope in. It could be our bank accounts. It could be our possessions, having the right tools for the job, having good friends or enjoying holidays, even making sure that we have enough money for retirement. All these things are good, and we should enjoy them and plan for them. But I want you to hear me saying to you today that our hope shouldn't be in things that will fade away. We should hope in something that is certain and sure. But today we're going to look at the certain and sure future that tells us that Jesus will return to be with him, will return one day to take us to be with him. Now, over the last few weeks, we've seen Jesus' birth over Christmas weekend. We've looked at Jesus' ascension, and this week we're looking at Jesus' return. Now, we read the Apostles' Creed together last week, and I'll put some of it up again for us this week. We're not going to say it together, but for those of you who don't know it, this is a confession written in the 4th century. It's old and has stood the test of time. Now, there are three things in bold that we've gone over in this little mini-series. You can see the first one there. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So we saw that over Christmas. Then a bit further down in bold, you see he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, that was last week. And then the last sentence there, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And this is the last line for today. And at this point, I want you to have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a great place to be looking at, and it's in your Bibles, the Pew Bibles. It's page 1188. Now, I'll speak today that this passage answers the question, what hope do we have? What hope do we have? And the first hope we have is clarity of hope. Now, I look at verses chapter 4, 13 to 18, and I see an answer to a lost question. The church of the Thessalonians seems to have asked Paul a question, and this section is the response, but we just don't know what the question is. It has something to do with those who have fallen asleep. Seems like they've asked something that they don't understand, and Paul wants to clear it up, and you can see it in verse 13. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now, Paul mentions those who have fallen asleep here. We shouldn't think that this is anything apart from people who have died. Paul spoke about those who had already died. The Christian community in Thessalonica were concerned about those who died, or that those who died missed out on the return of Jesus. They missed out on Jesus taking them to be with him forever. It's a big case of FOMO, fear of missing out, if you don't know what that is. So Paul clears up their misunderstanding. It's one of the few times we hear Paul say, according to the Lord's own words. Paul saw that this was delicate. It could easily lead people to give up. Who knows if we'll be alive when Jesus returns? I mean, all of those who have died before us have missed out. Why should we continue living as followers of Jesus if we also die before he comes back? And Paul says, no. And verse 15 is really clear. Look at verse 15. It says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, what this means is that all those who have died and all those who are still alive when Christ returns will be called, and Jesus will lift them up. No one misses out. No one's left behind. A great comfort, isn't it? Paul then continues in 16 and 17 to clear things up. He says, Jesus will come down. There'll be a loud command. All the dead in Christ will rise. And then in verse 17, those who are still alive will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Like last week, we saw Jesus go into a cloud and he was hid from their sight. And today it says that all followers of Jesus will be caught up in the clouds and be with Jesus forever. And, you know, in both instances, we have a cloud of, you know, this is God's presence with us. Now, we could talk a whole lot more about heaven and the new earth, but for today, we just want to focus on the return of Jesus. Now, it's clear in this passage that those in Thessalonica don't need to be worried about anyone missing out. In this passage, it speaks of those who are in Christ. Paul seems to speak here of followers of Jesus. And I think it's helpful at this point to now go to another passage to show you that actually who will rise. See, it's not just followers of Jesus who will rise and be with Jesus or hear Jesus' call. It's much broader than that. And John 5, 28 and 29 says that for us. And it's going to be on the board behind us, so we'll read it from there. Now, in the context, we're told that Jesus has been given all authority to judge. And then it says in verse 28 and 29, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. And the point I want you to notice in these two verses is that everyone will rise when Jesus returns. Everyone will hear his voice and respond. He has the authority to call us out of death to be with him. Even those who are condemned will hear his voice and rise. Everyone will hear the call of Jesus when he returns. Now, I know that some of you come to church and you hope that you hope and hope that you hear everything that's going on. Sometimes we forget our hearing aids. Other times, maybe your battery's flat. And for the rest of us, we've all had moments when we haven't heard someone or we don't want to hear them, and so we seem to switch off selective hearing, as we talked about last week. But not here. It won't matter, according to this verse. No one will be able to ignore Jesus. Everyone will know when Jesus returns. And you might be able to ignore me when I speak, or you may miss something when I am speaking to you. But when Jesus returns, everyone will hear his voice, even those who are dead. Everyone will hear the voice of Jesus, and those who already died will rise to life. And it's very clear, isn't it? It speaks of Jesus' incredible power. His power to take those who trust in him to be with him forever. It's right there in verse 17. I mean, this is the hope that we believe in. A dead cert, it's like the 50 bucks, isn't it? Jesus will return and you will rise. And that's clarity of hope, isn't it? So we know that Jesus will return and take us to be with him. And this means that we can live knowing that this isn't the end. If your life's not what you wanted it to be, then this is a refreshing message to hear. Because one day, whether you're alive or dead, Jesus will come and he will call you. And the only thing you need to worry about is whether you trust in him. And if you trust that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he takes away all your rebellion toward him, he throws it away, and he says, "Now you're mine." If that's you, then you will rise and live forever with Jesus. If you don't trust in Jesus, then this is a good time to sort it out. Ask some questions. Find out more about Jesus. Because as we heard, everyone will hear his voice. Everyone. Some will rise with him, and some will rise and be condemned. Don't stand condemned. Stand with Jesus. Trust in him, repent and believe that Jesus is Lord. Trust only in him and know that through him you won't stand condemned, but you will rise and live. That's clarity of hope, isn't it? Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, when's all this going to happen? You know, this book was written about 2,000 years ago and it still hasn't happened. Can't we tell when our hope is realized, when Jesus will return? Well, that's what our next point clarifies. Hope realized. And I'm back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 now. And in verse 1, the church of the Thessalonians don't need anything written to them about when this will happen. It seems like they already know. But in verse 2, they're reminded about the day of the Lord, which is when Jesus will return. It's going to come like a thief in the night. The idea being that we never know when a thief is going to come, so we need to be ready at all times. Verse 3 tells us something similar. People will speak about peace and security, that all is well in life and they have it all together, but like childbirth, the end will come and they won't be ready for it. They can't put it off because, like labor pains, once the pains start, they just don't stop. It's the same for the return of Jesus. We don't know when he's going to come back. And for some, it will come when they least expect it. But we know that he will come back. And when he does, you will hear his voice. You'll respond and you will rise and be with him. And the lesson here is that we need to live today as though he will come back today. We live life knowing that Jesus can come back at any moment. There's nothing we can do about this one. We can't bring it forward. We can't delay it for whatever reason. But there's something we can do. And this is what our last point for today tells us. There is something we can do to be ready. And in verses 3 to 11, we're told to be awake and sober, ready for Jesus' return. The date of his return is unknown, but we shouldn't be surprised. Now, burglar comes at night because it's dark and we can't see them coming. They come at night because you're more likely to be asleep, but Actually, if you happen to be awake, then you're more likely to be at someone's house at a party and not at home. So there's three reasons there for why a burglar should come at night. See, the burglar doesn't come during the day because, well, we can see them coming. They can't lurk in the dark during the day, can they? So we see them. What are they doing behind the bush? We can see them. We're home and we're awake during the day. But Jesus will come during the day, will Jesus come during the day, or will he come during the night? And I think this is where, when we look at this passage, it's actually a spiritual response. See, the follower of Jesus is someone who lives in the day. We're people of light. We're sober. This is how the Bible speaks about followers of Jesus. But for those who don't follow Jesus, they're people of the night. They live in darkness, spiritual darkness. And that means they can't see Jesus coming. They're either fast asleep or getting out drunk. And either way, it means they can't hear and see the things that are going on around them. They don't pay any attention to the things of God. See, in the spiritual sense, they're in darkness, asleep, or they're getting drunk. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with us going out at night and having a party and maybe having a drink. But spiritually speaking, we don't want to live in darkness. We want to live in the light. People in spiritual darkness live in ignorance of God and his son Jesus. And that means they're not ready for when Jesus comes. As followers of Jesus, we live in the light. We live God's ways. We live in such a way that means we're prepared for when he comes. I'm attentive to God's work in my life. And because we're people of the light, we can see what's coming and prepare for Jesus' return. And in verse 8, you can see it says that we need to be ready to have the breastplate of faith and love and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. And in verse 9, if you're a person who walks in the light, your salvation has come through Jesus Christ. He died and rose for you, like it says in verse 10, so that whether you're awake or asleep, meaning whether you're alive or you're dead, then when you rise, you will live with him. And the push for all of us in the last verse is to encourage one another and build one another up. Now, isn't this an amazing passage for us? We're told that Jesus will return. We're told that we need to be ready. We're told to live as children of the light, to live as people who know that Jesus will return. See, don't live in darkness and be people who live without God. Turn to him. Know his salvation, know that it is safe and sure, and live with him. And the responsibility of all those who live in the light is to encourage and build one another up. This says to me that living with our hope in the future, knowing that Jesus is our safe and sure future, knowing all this tells me that life is going to be difficult and we need one another. We need one another to encourage and build up. As a church community, we're a team that needs to help one another go to the end. This means that each one of us has a part to play in the encouragement and building up of one another. No one's left out. It means we can't be passive participants in this church. We need to be active, watchful, and alert. Encouragers, building one another up. Willing to help when help is needed, to encourage when someone's discouraged, to pour out your life because we help one another remain faithful to Jesus when so many things around us try and pull us away from wanting to follow Jesus. Now, while my friend and I hung on to the boat with dear life, I felt that I was screaming at my mate to hang on. It's the one thing that I was sure we should do. I needed him to stay because if he let go of the boat, his future was uncertain. He needed the encouragement to stay. And I think it's the same for us today, isn't it? I need you to hang on to Jesus. I need you to see that in the distance there is hope. But don't let go of Jesus and try and swim there on your own. You're part of a community that loves you. This same community needs you to love them back. In Jesus, we have a sure hope. Over the last few weeks, we've seen this sure hope, haven't we? Through the virgin birth, the King born to us. We saw his ascension to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And now today we finally see that he's coming back. There's hope for all of us. So let's hang on and help one another get there. Let's pray. Now, Father God, we thank you that you have our future in your hands. We thank you that we have a safe and sure future because you are holding on tight. Thank you for preparing the way for us and for going before us. We pray that you help us to continue to encourage and build one another up. And we pray all this in the name of King Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to sing our last song for today. This song's a great reminder that the day Jesus returns is not a fearful day, but a day of great rejoicing. So let's stand and sing together. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, that is Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am." Great words, aren't they? Well, let's join together for morning tea outside to encourage one another. And I encourage you online to hang together for a little bit to chat with each other. I'll see you outside.
Yes.